This podcast is proudly brought to you by MailChimp. MailChimp proudly supports the mission and vision of Wonderroot. I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonderroot programming podcast. We're taking this programming podcast in a different direction for this episode. I'm going to give you some conversation pieces. Literally, these will be pieces of conversations that bring you closer into the Wonderroot world with Wonderroot Creative Director Stephanie Dowda, Program Manager Jennifer Lobsons, and Venue Co-Manager Dave Sherman. Plus, some highlights from some of our past artist feature interviews. But first, I want to remind you of all the ways you can connect with Wonderroot. You can always visit us at wonderroot.org. That's our website. And you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/wonderpage. As well as on Twitter and Instagram at Wonderroot. And now, here are some conversation pieces with Wonderroot's program manager, Jennifer Lobsons, the venue co-manager, Dave Sherman, and the creative director, Stephanie Dowda, with a special guest appearance by artist Nick Madden. Jen, now that you've been in your role as program manager for how long? About 4 months now?
Yes. 4 months. I started in March.
All right. What's that been like? What's that arc of growth been like for you as you've gotten closer in with the Wonderroot and Atlanta arts community? What's that been like for you?
So personal, Floyd. I mean, it's been a lot of learning. It's been a lot of learning kind of practical things about Wonderroot, cultural things about Wonderroot, new faces. Wonderroot works with so many different organizations in a partnering capacity. And as a new person to Atlanta, I moved last August. It has just been a lot of new information for me. But now that I've been able to be here for a couple of months and have familiarized myself with at least some regular faces and some strong partnerships that we have, it's really exciting. It makes me feel like I have the ground under my feet is a little bit more stable. I understand a little bit better how Wonderroot works, how Wonderroot engages in Atlanta, why we are so successful in building relationships with a variety of both individuals and organizations, and how it's been really lovely to see firsthand how warm and receptive and supportive Atlanta is of Wonderroot. For myself as a new Wonderroot staff member, when I engaged with the world as a ambassador for Wonderroot, I receive overwhelming support, encouragement, outreach from people who interact with Wonderroot in such a variety of ways. So I think I'm starting to learn the longer that I stay how many different ways people interact with Wonderroot, but yet how consistently positive their associations are. That's not to say that people don't often have great feedback, they see gaps, they see holes, they see things Wonderroot can do better, which I also appreciate very much. But it's just been really lovely to be welcomed so fully into the Wonderroot community and to see how wide stretching it is.
As we go forward from a programming standpoint, I would love for you to continue to highlight some of the ways that people can get involved and how they should reach out to you, and even some things that you are just excited about going forward as we look to the last half of summer getting into the fall.
I'm always excited to see activity in the Arts Center. So I'm excited to see members coming in, making use of our space for individual projects. I'm excited to see group projects going on, discussions, kind of idea germinating conversations. I'm excited to see more classes take place. We are working to put together new Artists Helping Artists classes in the Digital Media Lab, exploring some of the different softwares that we have there, as well as in the dark room. So if people have ideas, have talent and time to give in a variety of artistic mediums, I would love to talk to them about getting some more classes going in the Art Center. It's a really great feeling for me as the program manager when I come in the Art Center and see it being used for the purposes that we want it used for, see people engaging with people that they wouldn't meet otherwise. So welcome all ideas. Like I said, I'm new to Atlanta. I still have a lot of people to meet. I want to hear people's opinions about what Wonderoot, what additional classes Wonderoot could offer. So I'm always open. Again, my email address is jennifer@wonderoot.org. I'm also at the Arts Center for a lot of the week, so people are welcome to drop by and catch me in person.
I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonderoot programming podcast. I'm speaking today with Dave Sherman. Dave is the venue manager of Wonderoot. Dave, how's it going?
Great, Floyd. Always a pleasure.
One of the questions that we get around Wonderoot more than any other question is, how do I book a show? So whether it's Facebook, whether it's Twitter, whether it's in person, whether it's a phone call, people always say, hey, I'm in a band. I'm coming to Atlanta in 2 months. I would love to get a show. And our response is always send an email to booking@wonderoot.org. But I would love for you to give some background or some context, rather, to what happens once that email is sent.
We're always wading through all of the emails that we're fielding. Because of the work that Dakota Floyd and Kyle Swick have been doing to really establish the venue in the region and nationally, honestly, because we're getting a lot of bands from Jersey and from further out west that are, you know, they came in and was like, we really want to play Wonderoot. We have friends in band, whatever, that played here and had a really great experience. So we're getting a lot of emails. The biggest concern that we have is how far out the show is. So as bands are coming through and they're having shows fall off, like be it in the Birmingham, Athens, Atlanta area, and they'll hit us up and it's like, hey, we've got a show in a week. We will hustle as much as we can to try and find a spot for them on a different bill. But the biggest concerns that we have are finding someone to staff the show and a show that they'll fit on, as well as just having space on a show. There was a show that my band actually played a month or so ago, and we had a band coming through from California that would have been the sixth band on the night. But it didn't work out. But so those are the challenges that we're having to face. The biggest thing that you could do to help us is give us a good 2 months to out from your date to contact us and say, hey, I need to hold on. You know, so today is June 22nd, late August. So I need August 23rd. What can you do? And then we'll have time to pull together some strong local anchors and figure out your style of music in the best ways that we'll be able to set up a really strong show for you.
So when the bands contact you, or let me actually reverse that, when we have shows here at Wonderoot, there's a very strong chance that not all of the bands on the bill actually know each other.
Right.
So just out of curiosity, how does that work as far as plugging bands in, whether it's from a long lead time or a short lead time?
Honestly, that's the most fun for me of the shows because, you know, I'm starting to run more shows. Kyle has run, and Dakota as well, will run weeks worth of shows. And I had my longest run where I had like six shows in a week. But with that said, I'll enjoy the bands that come through to varying degrees. We very rarely have a bad band that comes through Wonderoot. So even if it's a newer band, there's still something that they're doing that's really cool. But the most fun, you know, once that flatlines the quality of the music, is meeting new people. And I think for a lot of bands that are touring, that's a lot of fun, coming into a new town and meeting all the people. Everyone that's attached to the Wonderoot family is really sweet and they're really kind people. So that's one thing that I get as a compliment the most, especially from, you know, people coming down from the north. It's like, you guys say y'all and you're so nice. So that works itself out. As far as local bands, that I think is one of the most important things to, and it's kind of cliche to say, but building a scene that you're introducing bands to each other. And it's like, okay, you guys have a similar sound. We're putting you on this bill together. and then they can coordinate future shows together. And it just makes bands feel better. It's like, oh, we're playing this style of music. We thought that we were kind of alone in the Atlanta area. It makes us feel more supported that there are other people doing what we do, and they have people that like it. So it's really good to get bands established and build up a community around it.
Stephanie, mm-hmm. What do you have for us?
Sure. We have a really great fall coming up, and just to kind of give a little bit of a teaser, we actually are launching the CSA Season 2. The first season, the CSA, was very successful, really amazing art. Our shareholders are so awesome for supporting us, and we got a lot of coverage, in the Creative Loafing and USA Today and 11 Alive and NPR. So we're really excited to continue pushing the boundaries of how people can connect and collect art through the Wonderoot CSA. Also, we're really, really excited to be a presenting organization for the Decatur Book Festival this year. There's been some news out recently that the Decatur Book Festival is moving into wanting to include visual art in the festival. The Decatur Book Festival reaches 80,000 people, really amazing, powerful festival for writers, for readers, for people who are literary enthusiasts, people that want to learn more, that want to just enjoy it, of all ages, all backgrounds. And so they are moving into visual arts this year. Wonderoot was invited to propose a project, which was accepted, and we're very excited to present a collaborative sculptural piece by Bethany Collins and Justin Rabideau. The piece is called Too White to Be Black. It will be at the MARTA Plaza, which is actually above the Decatur MARTA station. It's kind of that really great square area that's like right by all the restaurants. So we will have a piece there. There's other organizations that will be presenting as well. Atlanta Contemporary Arts Center, Burnaway, Film Love, Soul Food Cipher. So we're really excited to be next to our peers who are doing great work in the community. Also, just as an update for the Walthall Symposium, we just had our second symposium, which was Saturday at the Georgia Lawyers for the Arts with Liz Wheeler, who is so smart and so great. And we're so thankful for her giving her time and talent to the Walthall Fellows. And she presented Legal Issues in the Arts, which really just opened the doors for the Walthall Fellows to consider how to protect themselves, how to move forward with different kinds of contracts, copyright laws, and, the copyright process. So, just a really, really smart and engaged symposium that Liz put together, really great tools and details. So we're excited to be able to connect the Walthall artists with Liz and Georgia Lawyers for the Arts. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, as we close out, Stephanie, you always have to let everyone know how they can get in contact with you and learn more about artist opportunities and just things that you have going on in the arts world around Atlanta and beyond. So let everyone know
great
how they can be in touch.
Yeah, this is my favorite part because I get to tell you how to email me. But really, actually, the best way to get in contact with me is email. It's Stephanie, Stephanie, at wonderoot.org. As Nick said that, if you see me out in the community, please come and say hi. I'm out at art shows and, East Atlanta Village Farmers Market and obviously lots of Wonderoot things. So if you see me, definitely introduce yourself. If you have ideas, that are like a giant tidal wave in the entryway of Wonderoot, then, please reach out to me and we'd love to make it happen. So thank you. Thanks, Nick, again for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. You guys are wonderful.
Thank you all. Nick Madden, artist in Atlanta, wonderful artist in Atlanta. Really proud of your work, Nick.
Thank you.
And Wonderoot's creative director, Stephanie Dowda. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed those conversation pieces, but it doesn't stop there. I also want to present a couple of recent chats I had with Atlanta artists, John Welker of the Atlanta Ballet, and visual artist Paper Frank. Check it out. I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonderoot artist feature. I have the pleasure today of speaking with dance artist John Welker. John, how are you doing?
Great, man. Thanks for having me.
John, thank you for coming in. John, this is, what, 20 years for you?
Yeah.
With the Atlanta Ballet?
Yes. Yeah, I say that with a pause, too. I'm like, really?
Do you still get excited?
Oh, absolutely. You know, but now that I've kind of branched out a little bit outside of, the performing arts, not in the sense that I'm outside of the craft, but I'm just doing other things within it. I actually get more nervous doing the stuff I'm not as comfortable with, but when it comes to dancing and you know, I'm ready to get on stage, I'm pretty relaxed, let's just say. I don't have the same jitters as I did when I first started, you know, because I just know it's going to be okay. You know, you can mess up, but what's the worst that can happen, you know?
Do you still recall your first time on stage with the Atlanta Ballet?
Geez, that's a really good question. I actually do. And, you know, it's Nutcracker. It's Nutcracker. That was back in 95. Yeah, it's back in 95. Well, actually, no, I'll regress. It was not Nutcracker. It was at the Cultural Olympiad, which most people don't know too much about. You know, when Atlanta hosted the Olympics in 96, they also have a cultural offering. And so they bring companies from all over the world, Atlanta Ballet being the host company. We performed at the Civic Center. Nice big stage, nice big. So I do remember that.
And as you fast forward and you look at all of the places that your art making has taken you, what do you think has been the biggest contributor to your longevity in that?
You know, you got to take care of yourself, not just physically, which is, you know, kind of the obvious thing being a dancer. You got to eat right. You got to just take care of your body, injury prevention. But also in order to stay creative and in order to stay excited, you have to kind of branch out of your comfort zone and just be curious, constantly looking for sources of inspiration, being open-minded when a choreographer comes in, being inspired by other artists outside of the genre, that sort of thing. So mentally, you know, you have to also kind of prepare yourself for a long career and be in that right mind space.
After 20 years of doing this, and you mentioned taking care of yourself, what is your post-performance routine like as you exit the stage, as you get ready for, you know, doing it again, whether it's practice, whether it's actual performance? What does that consist of as it relates to helping you create this longevity?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You just drink a lot of liquids. You make sure you eat before you go to bed because a lot of the times you're dehydrated and dehydration, you know, you get all that lactic acid in the muscles and you lose your appetite. So whether you feel like eating or not, you know, you have to replenish. So that's an absolute must. Depending on the rep that you're doing, you got to get your rest. Whether that means if you're nursing injury or nursing some soreness, taking a couple Advil before you go to bed. To get rid of that inflammation. And you're going to crack up when I say this, but a post-beer after a show is the way to go. Let me tell you, everybody out there, after running a marathon or doing whatever, one beer, that's all you need. It just relaxes your muscles. I swear by it.
We will make sure that we pass that along to everyone who's listening.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get some sort of beer sponsor. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
The official beer of the Atlanta Ballet.
Yeah, right.
Sounds kind of funny. Well, John, you mentioned all of the other things that you've been able to sort of take on and put on your plate. One of those things is Wabi Sabi, which is sort of an experimental dance experience that the Atlanta Ballet has started to feature over the past 2 years. This is the third year.
Yep.
Speak more about that.
Oh, man, this is where it's at right now for me. This is kind of following my heart. And, you know, Wabi Sabi was kind of created out of a very practical need. Our Atlanta Ballet season, and that for that matter, companies all over the country have a season where only a few companies have a summer season, but most companies, they operate during the fall months, winter months, and early spring, and that's it. And then for the summer, it's off. So for us, for the Atlanta Ballet, we generally start like around the end of August, beginning of September, all the way through mid-May. So there's a period in there July and June, most of, you know, some of May, some of August, about a 3-month period where you're unemployed. So whether you decide to go to school, whether you decide to stay in town and earn money, or whether you decide to try to branch out and try to go to find some pickup groups, you can find dance employment. My wife and I, who's also a dancer with the ballet, we guested about 7-8 years over the summers with multiple companies all over the country. And these are small ensembles, you know, 7, 8, 9 people from all over the country kind of form these pickup groups during the summer. And they're in towns all over the country. You know, we got Cape Cod, we got Boston, we got New York City, we got Austin, Texas, Florida, New Orleans. They're all over the place. And, you know, we're thinking, why does Atlanta have some of this? You know, we got a cultural audience in Atlanta. We got the spaces. We have the support. It's just no one had really kind of delved into it and put in the work to make it happen. And so that's kind of the grounding root for us of Wabi Sabi. And then as it progressed, and as I talked to John McFall, artistic director of Atlanta Ballet, we came up with a concept of what makes dance move forward. It's the choreographers. It's the choreographers. It's people at the fringe pushing the boundaries of what we do when you think of ballet or contemporary or modern dance. There's so many young choreographers out there who don't have the opportunity to have their work seen and work with talented artists. So we wanted to make a clearing ground and a wellspring of creativity to bring in choreographers from all over. And so they'd focus on what's important, which is the process and the work. So they don't have to worry about raising their own money, starting their own dance troupe. You know, everything that comes with of creating a show, where there's a lot going on behind it. So we just try to clear the path for them so they can just do what they do best.
I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonder Root artist feature. I have the pleasure today of speaking with visual artist Paper Frank. Frank, how you doing?
I'm amazing, man. Good to be here right now. This is fun.
Glad to have you. I'm very curious, man, about a couple of things. First off, where are Damien and Jessica right now on this journey that they're on?
They're traveling the world. They're getting all over Atlanta right now. Everybody's starting to see who they really are and who's creating them. They're just starting to see the world. I'm starting to give them to the world now.
So even beyond that, where do they exist in your own head in terms of their role in your life, obviously in your art, but where do they exist for you?
They're me in every way. If I was to be expanded into multiple people, it would be those two characters and all the other characters I draw. I just use them I'm really bad at expressing myself sometimes, so I use them to express emotions that I normally wouldn't. So really they're like my spirit animals almost.
Well, I noticed in a few pieces that all three of you may show up. At least my interpretation of such is all three of you might show up. And I feel like in some instances, either they might be protecting you from something or vice versa. It just seems like there's some sort of interaction between the three of you in those pieces. Could you give some more like context to that?
Yeah. I feel like sometimes also I use it to represent past things in my life that happened that I haven't really told people about, just really bad experiences, and I like to use those as big paintings. For instance, I painted one painting of Jessica, and she's giving a flower to a wolf. It's a huge wolf, and it's a wolf in the back. The wolves represented my parents, and Jessica represented my little sister. So I use that to kind of, and sometimes I put myself in there because just like I use them, I feel like they need me to create them. So I like to paint a picture with all of us just to show, like, kind of like almost a parent thing. Like I created them, but they're me. Almost like they're my kids for real.
That comes across. And I was wondering within that relationship that you've created with them, that you all seem to take turns being engaged with whatever's happening. Like, there's a certain sense of that. Can you? I'm trying to articulate
more of
that
like a focal point for each character, each painting. Like, they're more. It's more focused on one person.
I get a chance to see some of their personality in each, all of them in different ways. So in some instances, I get to see some of the personality with Damian and Jessica and you. I feel like they all come from a different place.
Yeah. That's where it goes back to the emotion thing. Because when I paint, you know, most of the time people have an exact blueprint of what they're painting, all the paintings. But me, I don't have that. But since it's more of emotion, all my paintings change until I finish it. Like, I'll start one way and just it'll go this way, that way. If I'm sad that day, it'll go that way. I'll draw some sad looking characters. I'm happy. Really, it get brighter, more things, more intricate. Sadder I am, the more vague the painting is. The more excited I am, the more intricate, the more work I put into it, more line work. And I think people can really see that when they look at my works, because they always ask me how I felt when I did this one.
And I think in your work, I sense, well, for me, one of the common themes was a sense of transportation.
Mm-hmm.
I could see a car. Mm-hmm. I could see a unicorn or a horse.
Mm-hmm.
I see the characters perhaps riding some sort of creature somewhere. So there seems to be this element of transportation.
Yes.
And I'm curious about that in your work when it comes to your characters or even yourself. What are they leaving behind, or what are they looking forward to?
That's interesting. You're probably the second person to ask me that. That means you're actually looking at my work. It's always, sometimes it represents, you can't do everything by yourself. And it's always whatever moment in your life you're in, you have that one person or entity or whatever it is that's helping you get to the next point in life. And you can't get there without that thing or person. For instance, I have painting where Damian is running on the top of a snake through the sky while the snake is falling through the sky at a very rapid pace. And I just felt that represents how life is kind of moving for me right now. Everything's moving really fast. I'm trying to just keep on to everything that's going on, because if I let go, you know, just that stagnant.
Once again, I'm Floyd Hall, and I hope you have enjoyed these conversation pieces as much as I have enjoyed presenting them. And I invite you to check out these and other conversations in full via our Wonder Root podcast. It's on Podomatic, wonderroot.podomatic.com, as well as on iTunes and the Stitcher app for mobile devices. Lastly, for more information about Wonder Root, please visit wonderroot.org. You can also connect via Facebook, facebook.com/wonderpage, as well as on Twitter and Instagram at WonderRoot. This podcast is proudly brought to you by MailChimp. MailChimp proudly supports the mission and vision of WonderRoot.